very few people practice that as they grow up in organizations, and I don't think that many CEOs do. They practice pursuing one stream of logic. Let's cut costs. Let's expand internationally. And strategies about asking questions about where to play, where in the entire sort of potential playing field we could plop ourselves down, and how to win, and having those two things reinforce one another. And that's seemingly hard for them to do.
It's always been my sense that there almost is a misunderstanding about what is strategy versus the tactical. And at its core, people in general don't get that. So describe to us why strategy is important. Why is this something that CEOs should be good at?
Well, I think it's strategy will help you deploy assets, whatever assets, financial, human capital you're going to bring to bear. Strategy either has them essentially, if you want to use military terminology, right, taking the right hill and having the right resources to take the hill, not taking the wrong hill, or picking the right hill but not having the resources and failing entirely. So it's a way of taking matching your resources to a task that's worth accomplishing that you can accomplish.
Is that a flaw then? I mean, is it bad that CEOs are focused on one single logic, one single directive, while your strategist may be able to incorporate all sorts of different patchwork to their quilt? What's wrong with that?
Yep. No. It's a problem. I think that many of the resources that organizations, you know, expend money, people's time, natural resources, is spent on the back of too ineffectual strategy. And, you know, we'd have more effective utilization of all those resources if we had better strategies.
And in your post, you actually point to Apple, which is many people have looked back over the past decade and said, oh my goodness, if there's one company that just really figured it out, it's Steve Jobs and Apple. They just really made these choices. And part of the strategy question is, where are you going to invest the real resources you have, your time, your energy, and your money? Where are you going to invest those resources to get the most bang for your buck?
No, that's absolutely right, and I think I think Apple is a terrific example, because it isn't really simple. They're not just doing one thing. I mean, personal computers, MP3 players, and handheld telephones are different businesses, right? With different competitors,
right.
And they've managed to figure out how they can make that their where. So it's a fairly broad where to play. It's not like Dell. It's not like Research in Motion. It's not like, you know, Sony or Panasonic. It's across those, but they figure out a how to win that they can reinforce and leverage across all of those areas. So rather than trying to compete in different ways in three businesses and getting beaten up by the people who focus and are narrow, they make it hard for some of their competitors to have as many capabilities in those businesses, because they can't invest across those three areas.
But we like to focus on just one thing because we're good at that.
No, it's true, and what I would argue is it's a great way to start, right? And prove to yourself that you can do fantastically in the one thing you're focusing on. But sometimes it helps to broaden. And in the case of Apple, they have used in their iPhone business, their capability with web rendering. So if you look at your iPhone, the thing that people love about the iPhone is it surfs the web better than any other handheld phone product. Why? It's because they've shaken down the software for that on their PCs and have been doing that for forever. So if you can go from the narrow and then leverage that across a broader array, great. If you can't leverage it, then stay focused.
Extending on your Apple analogy, part of this is getting people to follow, coming up with this strategy and then getting people to follow it. And it seems like, I mean, I always imagine those first conversations with the Apple, within Apple, where he said, we're going to make this device that allows people to carry all their music in one device. And people said, well, there's no driving need for, there was no real market. Nothing said this is what people wanted, what people were driving for. And yet it took some courage to say, hold on, this is the direction we're going in.
Yes, well, and that, in fact, you referred to this post, but my most recent post on HBR is about imagination and the need to have, if you're gonna have a vibrant company over time, you need to have imagination, not just analysis. So there's no amount of analysis you could have possibly done, in my view, to demonstrate that the iPod would even be a reasonably good idea, let alone a smash hit. It had to be Steve Jobs saying, "I think that people will love having this capability when they learn that it is a capability that they can have." Prior to that, you can't do the market research on it because it didn't exist. Just like you couldn't do market research on PCs.
Right.
Do you want a PC? What is a PC? I don't know what a PC is. I don't know what to do with it.
Or the TiVo. I don't know what a TiVo is. And
I didn't know how much I wanted my TiVo until I had one.
Yeah. Sure.
Now I don't know how I watched TV before.
Right. Or BlackBerry, right? You know,
right.
That's why they call it CrackBerry, right?
Yeah.
We're addicted to something that we couldn't really conceive of. You know, that product was launched in 1999.
Wow.
The BlackBerry,
wow.
1999. It's only been around for 10 and a bit years, and now we can't imagine, you know, kind of life without that capability.
So how do we adjust to this then? The group leaders, the managers, folks in charge need to broaden their focus clearly and have that creative opportunity. But how do you get from where we are to there?
Well, a couple of things. I'm really of the belief that we have headed way too far in the direction of kind of science in our educational system. And we're in love with it. The National Science Foundation comes out and says, well, we have to have more people in the STEM discipline, science, technology, engineering, math. I'm all for having enough scientists around, but that doesn't mean that we need to drive out of the curriculum everything that grows a person's imagination and ability to think broadly across disciplines. And so I think accidentally our fascination with the advancement of science has made our senior leaders over time less likely to have the broad thinking capabilities that they need to do things like do strategy and imagine futures. So I think the pendulum needs to swing back. We need to utilize all the science that we've developed, but not to the exclusion of more holistic thinking.
And it strikes me that all these things that you're talking about are things that can't be automated. These are things that people have to do.
That's right. They would not be algorithms,
yeah.
Right? They are heuristics, right? Rules of thumb, ways of thinking about things. I mean, I can write out an algorithm for getting you home from the studio tonight. I cannot write you an algorithm for how to be, a successful radio host. I'm sure that we could say here are five or six things you need to think about, but you need to put those things together in your own way. So you're absolutely right, and that's a critical distinction. If you think about it, things in life start out as mysteries. We think about them enough to develop rules of thumb. Here's how we can think about this. Some things in due course become algorithms. You know, there's a formula for doing it. So at one point, it was mysterious why things fall down. Then we had a heuristic called, there's a universal force called gravity. Then we studied enough to figure out that if you dropped anything, it would accelerate at 32 feet per second squared. And once you get there, you can make software, right?
Yeah.
But many, many things in life are still at the mystery stage, right? How can you jam 8 billion people on the planet and not destroy
right.
it? You know, how can you make big cities work? There are mysteries. Some things are heuristics. How to produce a radio show that people like, how to do an M&A transaction. All of those things are
how to develop a good strategy.
Yeah. Exactly. Those are all in the area of heuristics. And I find sometimes, you know, the scientifically oriented say it's got to be an algorithm or I won't deal with it, right? And so what they do is simplify things down by excluding all the things that they ought to think about. That's part of why we had the financial crash, right? All the models that all those quant jocks in the investment banks used assumed that every person all the time was a rational, profit maximizing human being with no emotions.
Which means that they haven't worked in radio.
I think that's probably right.
Professor, I'm going to stop right there. Thank